Well, y'all glad to be in church this morning? Yeah, kind of. Well, it's better than the hospital or jail. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, 1. So what we're going to be, what the announcement I was supposed to make was that on the 26th, the Sunday of the 26th is also the memorial bull riding in Uvalde, the same thing that I preached last year, and tried everywhere in the world to get out of it again this year, and so I didn't, and so I'm going to be preaching that service that Sunday. And so anyway, I don't know what we're going to do, if we're going to shut church down like we did last year and go over there or whatever. I don't know yet. So, but anyway, that is going to take place. I ask you to be praying for it because I want to see people come to know Jesus. And that's the main emphasis on. I don't want to, you know, do anything that just to do something. I don't, you know, that's no good. But I know that they're really working on advertising better and trying to get more people to come out there. And they've got some other professional cowboys. Leon Coffey's going to be there again, but there's going to be some other professional cowboys there, and they're going to do like they did last year. And so anyway, so just please be praying for that people will, their hearts will be moved to go to that bull riding and come out there and find Jesus. Amen? That's the most important thing. So I've been preaching about faith, and I'm going to continue on this message some here this morning about faith. How many of you in here, You would say that at times you feel like you've had great faith, and at times you feel like you've had no faith. Am I in the right group of people in here? Huh? I mean, I think that's our life. It's times that, you know, we feel like we're just right there real close with Jesus, and we're just, everything's going on, and then there's other times in life we feel like, you know, Lord, where are you? Have you fallen off the throne and left me out here in the dark? Right? I mean, let's just be honest. It's, you know, I don't want, you know, everybody says, not everybody, but people say, well, they don't want to go to church because Christians are hypocrites. But a hypocrite just means you're an actor. And I don't want to be an actor. I just want to tell the truth, right? Sometimes I'm the greatest. Sometimes you do not want to tackle me in my areas of faith. Other times I just get in there and agree with the devil. I'm sorry. It's the truth. There's times in life when you just look at it and I just look at a situation and say, man, that does look terrible. God, I don't know how you'd pull that thing off. And other times I'm like, that little thing, that mountain's nothing. We can overcome that mountain in a night. It's no big deal, right? Well, the reason why I'm trying to teach this message about faith is because the more I study faith and the more I understand the things of God and the Word of God, I understand that it's really all about us. Because you see, God's faith is always consistent. God is always consistent. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always a God who never changes. He's always there. He's always in this plane, moving forward, and we're up, down, up, down, up, down, and just, we're just hoping that we're progressing in our up and down, and we're not just like a ball going up and down like this, and we're at least getting somewhere, and then down and up. Y'all with me? And I can say, and you know, it's been, I don't know, since 1985 when I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot about faith. I can remember, you know, things that would just topple me, now don't topple me, and other things that are rising up in life that I'm having to overcome that, you know, I hadn't dealt with, and so I'm having to figure out how to whip them, you know. But I understand that it's us. We're the ones that are doing this bouncing. So if we can get ourselves more on a consistent plane of understanding God, and understanding the things of God, well, then we're going to live a life that's not up and down. We're going to live a life that's straighter. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 is where I started this message. And I started this thing with giving you this Robert Richards quote on what faith is. Faith is the ability to stay encouraged while looking in the dark and knowing something good from God is coming, and you just have to wait for it. Okay? But Abraham, he went out there and he find in Genesis 15, 1 that God took Abraham out and he said, don't be afraid to Abraham. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, well, Lord, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one. Listen, do you notice it says the word of the Lord came to him? The word of the Lord came to him. Didn't say he appeared to him in a bush. He didn't appear to him in a angelic form. He said, the word of the Lord came to him. And he says, this one of you shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now at the heavens and count all the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now at this time, Abraham's 90 years old. He looks up into heaven. God shows him all the stars. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think that that's going to work out. I mean, they did live longer in the Old Testament than we do today, but at 90 years old, you're going to have as many children as the stars. How in the world is that going to be unless you have them quadruples at a time and Sarah's really going to start producing? She had never had a kid. Been barren her whole life, right? Okay. So, says verse 6, though, but he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, he came to this point of faith, and he released the faith on the inside of him. He truly believed that what God said was true. Not looking at the circumstances, not looking at the situation, not looking at what was going on there, but just sat there and looked at the promise of the Word of God. Okay? You see, we always say, well, it's so hard to walk with Jesus because we don't get to see him. We don't see these things. So wait a minute. But we do see the Word of God. We do see the promise. If you believe the Bible is true, then you look at the Word of God. You're seeing his promise to you. Y'all with me? There is something to grab hold of. There is something to look at. It's called the Word of God. All right? So anyway, it's always hard for us to walk in faith because we put everything on times and seasons. And God doesn't put things in perspective of time. He says your whole life is nothing but a vapor, like a match. You just struck it and went, psh, psh. That's your whole life to God. Because he's not looking at it from our perspectives. He's looking at it from his perspective, which is an eternal perspective. So he's looking at it forever. You see, sometimes when I get discouraged, what I do is I look and I think about heaven. And I say, well, you know, bless God. What I go through in my life here on this earth is eventually going to end. And I've just sent everything ahead to heaven. And I'm going to get to heaven, but I'm going to have that forever. I'm not going to have to worry about paying the bills forever. I'm not going to have to worry about ugly people forever. I'm not going to have to worry about stupid governments forever. You know, I'm not going to worry about politicians. I'm not going to worry about bad investments. I'm not going to worry about any of that forever. Well, I can do it for a little longer. Y'all with me? Because I'm going to live in the presence and the glory of God forever. So, you know, that's something to really look forward to. I'm not going to have to worry about allergies in heaven. You know? Cedar pollen, oak pollen. Forget it. It ain't going to happen in heaven. You're not going to be allergic to grass in heaven. You're not going to get eaten by a lion in heaven. Not that we stand too good of a chance for that to happen to us around here, but as I was preaching this in Africa, that might be relevant. You're not going to get bit by a snake in heaven. Y'all with me? You're not going to get run over by a horse? Are y'all there? You see, you look at that, that's for eternity. For this life that we live here, we are always looking at everything in times, our times. Oh my gosh, we're running out of time because we're getting older. But wait a minute, I don't die. This stupid earth suit that I've got may fall apart someday, but I'm living forever. If you don't like me now, you better get used to me because I'm around forever. You can't get rid of me. You get to heaven, I'm going to be there. I'll be there forever. Hello. So we might as well start loving each other and liking each other because, I mean, you know. Unless you're figuring on living on the back side of heaven so you have to put up with anybody else. But you know that's not going to work. God's going to put you up front and center. Anyway. Maybe I ought to be preaching about heaven this morning. Anyway, so I looked at what faith is not. And I'll give them to you again. Five things faith is not. Faith is not mental assent. This is not something I'm talking about. You get in your head and you psych yourself all up. You cannot mental assent to faith. You can't say, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe. Y'all with me? You're not the cowardly lion from the Wizard of Oz. You can't just step and say, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe. And you're going to get whatever you're believing for. All right? You can't sit and just quote the Word of God at the problem unless you're really believing it. All you're doing is throwing seed. You're not growing seed. Anyway, second thing is faith is not a key to get God to do what you want. It's not a manipulation tool. Number three, faith is not spiritualism or mystical. Okay, it's not some hocus pocus, voodoo, hoodoo. Faith is a law that God's kingdom operates in. The fourth thing is faith is not something you receive from another person. You can receive inspiration, but you can't receive faith. You can't live off my faith. You can't live off your mother's faith. You can't live off your spouse's faith. You can't live off somebody else's faith. You can't live off Billy Graham's faith. You can be inspired by a person to start producing faith, but you can't live off another person's faith. Because only you are going to stand before Jesus for your life and for everything. Only you are the one that can make a difference between heaven and earth. You. You have to produce faith. All right? Faith is not something you earn by being good. So faith is not something that you get by, you know, you get enough gold stars and then God will love you. It's you do enough good deeds and everything's going to be okay. That's not faith. That's not Bible believing faith. This is what I said last week. Simply put, faith is believing in God and can only come through a relationship with Him. Listen to me. You are not going to have true Bible believing faith unless you have a relationship with Jesus. Unless you understand who your Heavenly Father is. If you believe that your Heavenly Father is mad at you and He's going to get you for things that you've done on earth, how are you going to have any faith that He's going to do anything for you? How could you muster up a prayer to ask God's help if you really believe He wants to hurt you? That maybe He does put cancer on you. Maybe He did cause a car wreck, or maybe He is going to do this to you, or He's going to smoke you somehow, torture you somehow. If you really believe that, then you don't really understand the loving God of the Word of God, the Bible. You've developed your own religion in your head and in your heart that will keep you from having a relationship with Him. Every time I crawl on my Harley to go ride, I get on there and I pull out and I stop and it's sitting there idling and I'm getting ready to blaze off into glory. The horizontal rapture. And I pray Psalms 121. And I say this with all faith in my heart because I know my God. And I say, God, You're my keeper. That's what Psalms 121 says. You're my keeper. And I thank You. You're keeping me today. You're riding with me. You're covering me with Your angels. God, I thank You for this guy. And I ride off and never think about it. You say, well, that's just crazy. That's just foolish. You should have done. Well, it's my relationship with God. I splat on the side of the highway. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to be in heaven and y'all going to be stuck down here. I'm not worried about it. I'm kept. He said, well, that's just tempting. Whatever. Just go live your life. Leave me alone. That's my relationship. You've got to have your relationship. You see, I read that one day in the middle of a bad situation. Psalms 121. I read that years and years ago. Happened to come across it. And I was in the middle of a bad situation. And I said, God, You said You're my keeper. So today I'm believing You for that. And God got me out of that bad situation miraculously. And I want to tell you something. I said, I see the power of the faith of Psalms 121. So You're my keeper. I learned that day. I developed a relationship. If you don't have a relationship, you're not going to have faith. Okay. Now, I looked at also, I don't know if I got there or not last week, but I'm going to say it again. Hebrews 11:1-3. I'm going to read it. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God created everything in this world by faith. But of course He would, because He is a God whose law works in heaven by faith. You didn't come from a monkey. You came from the word of God. That world, the worlds were not created by two planets banging into each other and just happened to create the perfect atmosphere. No. You didn't just crawl up out of the sea. No, everything was orchestrated and created by a God whose law in heaven is a law of faith. God speaks and things happen. He is a creator. Hello? Think about this, folks. This is so simple. This is so, so, so simple, yet we don't do it. God spoke, and it came to pass, because it's the law of faith. God is a creator. He says, I'm going to live on the inside of you. I'm going to put myself on the inside of you. So therefore, when you speak God's word, you are in the creating business. It's not you doing it, it's God's word doing it, but you're doing it out of your mouth. So you speak negative? All you're doing is sowing to the devil's kingdom. You speak God's words out of your mouth and believe in his promises, faith is going to get produced and worlds are going to get created. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. It's me. It's me, Pastor Robert. Okay, let me go on. The second thing about faith that you got to understand is according to Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You got to understand, listen. This is some, don't shut me off. Listen to this. To do something good for somebody, that's a good thing. To be nice, that's a good thing, right? You should never stop doing nice things. But truly, the only thing that pleases God is when you put your faith in him and are believing on him. The world system says, oh, you do something good, you get a gold star. But with God, the only thing that pleases him is when you're truly believing him for something. You're truly speaking his word. You're truly believing in his word. You're truly standing in the midst of adversity and you're speaking God's word over that situation. That pleases God. You say, well, I don't know about it. Folks, isn't that even true with our own children? When our children are trusting in us and believing in us that we're going to take care of them or we're going to help them, or here, when the little child comes to you and says, here, Daddy, I know you can fix it, it makes you feel good. Folks, when you start believing and truly trusting in God, it pleases him. Faith pleases God. Now, listen to me. You might want to write this down if you're taking notes. It's not enough to have an encounter with Jesus. So many people at some emotional service, some point of their life, they have an emotional response to Jesus. And they say, oh, I want to get saved. But it's not enough just to have an encounter with Jesus. You have to take something away from that encounter. Something that gives your life direction and meaning. You see, when I met Jesus, when I walked into that barn back in 1985 and was contemplating blowing my brains out, and I cried out on Jesus and I said, Jesus, if you're really real, I want to know you. And he touched me. That moment, he touched me. That was the very first time of my life that I encountered the living Jesus Christ was real to me. He changed my life. I mean, to be in his presence for that moment, that second, standing there, I didn't see him. I didn't see anything. There was no cloud that filled the room. There was no mist. There was no burning bush. There was no talking donkey. But I knew that Jesus was standing right there in front of me. I knew that he heard my prayer, and I knew that by his spirit, he was touching my heart. And that day I gave my life to him and said, Jesus, I'll serve you all the days of my life. You are real. I know it. Changed my life. But I had from that encounter, something changed me that caused me to completely change my whole life, my whole direction, my whole everything. I took something away from that encounter that gave my life direction and gave my life meaning. You can't just encounter Jesus and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for getting me saved. And then it didn't touch you. It didn't change you. It didn't do anything with you. It didn't affect you one way or the other. If that's your testimony, it makes me question whether you really met the same Jesus that I met. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about you came in contact with the living Christ and it changed you. Oh, you're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but something caused your life to change. You quit doing something and it changed you, catapulted you somewhere else. Folks, that experience that I'm talking about right there is probably your first encounter with exercising your faith. You say, what's faith? That moment? That's what happened, whether you realized it or not. That's what happened. At that moment, that's when you really, for the very first time, exercised your faith that caused something to change in your life, caused a direction. Wow, man, that's what happened. Well, that same experience is what should happen in our life through every encounter we have. A mountain rises in front of us. And you say, wow, okay, Jesus, I'm having to pray. I'm believing you for this. Your same faith that you used to get saved is the same faith you used to overcome that mountain. Right? Didn't you hear the word of God that said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus, you'd be saved? You may have heard it or knew it or whatever, but that was what came to you. That was his promise. You believed it, and boom, salvation came into your life. Oh, okay, so now you read, Beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Oh, Lord, you want me to be in health. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you said, and you believe in him for health. You say, well, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, this the deal about healing. Sometimes, you know, I don't know. Well, maybe you're too lost to get saved. Well, no. He accepts all sinners. Oh, got a lot of faith in that, huh? You see, folks, it's us and our relationship with him and what we believe. If you believe God wants to prosper your life because you know that's what his word says and you put your faith in and exercise it, you know what? You will prosper. But then, see, religious garbage gets in our lives and says, well, what truly is prosperity? You know, I read it, I saw a deal the other day. What is it? I think I'm right on this. You know, don't quote me as a Bible, but it was like 9 billion people live in earning no more than $257 a year. I'm pretty sure that's right. It was a pretty staggering number. How many people are there in the world? Okay, so if there's 7 billion, it couldn't have been 9. There's 7 billion, so it was 6. See, I have dyslexia. It's turned it around the other way. 9s and 6s. It was a huge amount of people that only live making 250. So then you can say, oh, well, if you made $300 a year, you've prospered. See, religion always wants to come in and try to shoot for the lowest figure. I want to shoot for the 1 percentile. Well, you get all that money, it'll corrupt you. I'd like to walk through that temptation for a change. Tempted with everything else in the world, tempt me with millions of dollars. All I'm saying is that your relationship and how you believe the Word of God is going to dictate where your level of faith is. And what you're believing God for and what you're really truly walking in is going to have a direct proportion to your relationship. And some of us, you know, are so rooted and firm on salvation, but we've never progressed any farther with our relationship. We believe Jesus is the Savior. But is He the healer? Is He the prosperer? Is He, you know, the victorious one? Is He, you know, the one that delivers you from all things? Is He your shield and your exceeding great reward? You follow what I'm saying? Now, I want you to look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. There's no way I'm letting you out of this by simply just saying, well, you know, some people are more spiritual than others. And No. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one, a measure of faith. That's all of us. Everybody has a mechanism on the inside of them called a faith producer. Everybody does. No one gets out. You didn't get it. Well, I was born on the south side of the track. We're not as spiritual over there as those on the north side of the track. Well, my mama did this, or my dad. No, you can't. There's no excuse. Every human being born on the face of the earth has the ability to believe the Word of God. There's a measure of faith dealt to everyone. The biggest atheist, the most agnostic, the cynical, whatever they be, they have an ability to believe God on the inside of them. I don't care how warped they are, how twisted they are, what all has been handed down to them, it doesn't make any difference. You have the ability to believe in God. We have the ability to produce. You have a faith muscle, let's call it. All right? And if you exercise it, it gets stronger. And you don't exercise it, it gets weak and mushy. Weak and mushy. Look at that person beside you and say, what? No. As you get older, weak and mushy is something you deal with. Okay, so will everybody admit that's according to the Word of God? You either believe the Word of God or you don't. Every one of us has a measure of faith on the inside of us. Every one of us has that ability to believe. So now look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then how does this machine on the inside of you get turned on to get you to produce faith? And Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you look at that in the Greek, it really means so faith comes through hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. This faith producer on the inside of you comes alive when it hears the Word of God. When the Word of God's spoken, God's Word woof, goes out of His mouth, His Word that got written down on paper, you read it, it's got life in it. And when that life comes in you, that faith producer in you, boom, operates. You don't hear the Word of God, you don't read the Word of God, you don't speak the Word of God, you don't look at the Word of God, faith producer won't work. So then it's all directly up to us. Of how much do we want to walk in faith is all directly related to how much do we want to hear the Word of God. Right? It's like dieting. We all want to take the pill and just wake up the next morning and be skinny. Exercising. Oh my gosh. I just want to do it once and it'll be over with. Right? I mean, if you want to get strong and in shape, take a pill, exercise once, and the next morning you wake up. No problems. No sore muscles. Ah, yes. Work all day. I drove 6 nails with a hammer, and my neck hurts so bad right now. I feel like somebody has drove a nail through it. 6 nails. Am I in shape? Where's the pill? The one day exercise. I want it. I don't want to go get in shape. It's ugly. It hurts. It's nasty. Get all hot and sweaty, tired out, feel worse when I get over it. Oh, no, you'll feel better when you exercise. I've never felt better when I've exercised. I don't care what you say. Oh, no, you'll just feel better and better. No, I don't. I hurt for weeks. I sweaty, hot, and tired. I have no energy. No, but you just push through that. You get over it. I can't make it. The torture on the front end isn't worth it. Oh, but you just need to. You'll live so much longer. Yeah, like we all want to do that. He'd send me to heaven. Bless God. You could make it to 90. I don't want to live to 90. I mean, it's really sad to say, but I'm the kind of the guy that if, you know, they're debating over pulling the plug, if I can reach and get hold of it, I'll pull it myself. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus. I want to live in glory. I'm looking forward to it. I ain't liking old age. Older age. Because I have pushed old age up. Old age is higher. Yeah. But faith has to be, you have to hear it. You have to hear God's word. It's your Bible holding that you have holding right there in your hands. That Bible is what makes your faith producer produce faith. When you hear, read, speak God's word, that's what launches this thing off on the inside of you. Every morning when I read my Bible, I look at it and I pray. I said, okay, now Holy Ghost, show me something good today. And I'll read through it, and then all of a sudden, boom. I said, look at that. Look what you're showing me right there. That is good. Faith starts leaping on the inside of me. That's how we have to live, church. Now, the fifth thing here is faith, and this is where I'm going to close. Y'all just hold on. Last one. Faith begins to manifest when God's word begins to come out of your mouth. Faith begins to manifest when God's word begins to come out of your mouth. When you're speaking God's word out of your mouth in faith, whatever you need is produced. He said, well, I don't understand. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. It withered and died. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4:19. It says, not being weak in faith, he's talking about Abraham. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let me just give you this, because we're running out of time here, and I want to get this to you this morning. If you go back and you look at Genesis chapter 15, which you read at the first, God spoke to Abraham, said he was going to have as much seed or children as the stars of the sky. Then you look and you see that he went for 13 years and then nothing happened. They got messed up. They went and had Ishmael by the servant and all these things happened, but he had no child. Okay? Now, then all of a sudden in Genesis 17, God reappears to Abraham after 13 years, and he comes up and he speaks to him. He says, Abram, his name before was Abram, which means father. He said, Abram, I'm changing your name. I want to change your name to Abraham, which means father of a nation. So I'm going to change your name to Abraham. And now you're going to be a father of a nation. So Abraham has no children. Everybody knows he wants children. He doesn't have any children. And so he has to walk around and tell everybody, oh, last night God changed my name. My name's now father of a nation. So he introduced himself to everybody. Hi, I'm Abraham, father of a nation. Really? Got a lot of kids? No, don't have any. After God changed Abram's name to Abraham, within 12 months, he had a child. Why? Because he began to speak out of his mouth the promise that God had given him. You're going to be a father of many nations. He could have had the kid 13 years earlier, but he couldn't get faith producing in him. Even though it said he believed God and accounted it for righteousness, he was never speaking out of his mouth, and I'm going to be a father of nations. I would have thought, tonight, Sarah, you're going to get pregnant. Whoa! He just said, it's going to be like it always was. Sarah's got a dead womb. I'm old, tired. I'm going to have a bunch of kids. Ain't never going to happen. Ain't nothing good ever going to happen. I don't know why I believe God. Feel like a fool. Go out there and believe God. You know, ain't nothing going to happen. Been trying to have kids for all these years. And ain't never. It's kind of embarrassing. Then the next thing you know, God says, I'm going to change your name. And you got to tell everybody. You're the father of a nation. And so it just threw him out in the midst. He just finally had to get rid of his pride. Had to get rid of all of his inhibitions and just say, hey, I'm a father of nations. That's me. Boom, he has a kid. You see, God knows in each and every one of us that we're at those same points in our life and that we really won't produce faith. We may be reading the Word of God, we may be hearing the Word of God, but we're really not producing faith because we really don't believe it or walk in it, or we live in this secret world of our hopes and our dreams, but we never really step out and do it. But God has to come to us sometimes and shake us and push us a little bit, kind of kick us out of the nest and say, get out there and believe in me. Isn't that what you said you were going to do? And the moment you step out and start doing it, boom, God appears and starts happening because you finally were like Abraham. You got your name changed from Abram to Abraham. Now you're walking around telling everybody you're the father of a nation. Hello? It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But I want to tell you something. God's word works. Amen? Amen. Well, ladies, can y'all bring the communion down, please? This is our first Sunday. We do have communion this morning. You know, at Living Waters Church here, we have an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're more than welcome to have communion with us this morning. Laura, can you come up and play? And church, listen to me. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what all's going on in your hearts and lives. But I know Jesus does. And if you're here today and you're in a place of life that you've run across obstacles or you've run across problems, you're needing some faith. I'm telling you, this is how you get it. You have to do it yourself. You have to get your faith working in the inside of you. You have to read the Word of God. And you have to see that faith being built and produced in you. You have to speak it out of your mouth so it'll manifest. Listen to what you're saying. I'm going to be teaching next week on how to turn your faith on to search mode. But right now, I just want you to know, listen, God will do everything His Word says He'll do. There's no fault with God. God doesn't have any problems. God is, you've not done too much. You've not had so little of faith that God can't reach you. Listen to me, God can do anything. There is no boundaries for God. It all has to do with what are you believing for. He'll do anything. So right now, I want to ask my pastoral team to come down, my prayer team here this morning so I can serve them communion and help them to help you be served. But if you're here today and you're needing faith, you're needing something, you need, well, then here in just a minute when we come up to receive communion, just ask one of these people to come and help you, pray for you, because they will. We'll believe God for miracles. But right now, just begin to just start communion with Jesus. Because that's what this communion service is all about. You talking to Jesus. The scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread and that he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, now take and eat, for this is my body, which is given or which is broken for you. Jesus took all the pain on the cross, took all the stripes, he bore it all so that you and I could be whole, so we could be complete. So Lord, we thank you for what this bread means to us today. It means the healing in our bodies, the brokenness of our life put back together. So Lord, we praise you for it. Then it says he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he said, this cup is a new covenant poured out in my blood for you, for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, that's what this is. Whatever's holding you back, whatever makes you feel guilty, whatever you've done, be forgiven. Receive your forgiveness. Accept your forgiveness. Bring it down on the inside of you and be forgiven. Because it's right here in this cup. Jesus, we thank you. You poured your blood out for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins.